We're on week three, the final week of the series that we've entitled New Year, Less Me. And we've talked about this idea for the new year that we always use the beginning of a year to think about what I want to change about myself. We create resolutions, or as I like to say, goals, because goals are not so absolute as resolutions. But we set goals like losing weight, or I'm going to read my Bible, or I'm going to be better with my finances, or I'm going to show up to church on time. I'm going to speak kinder words. I'm going to have better relationships. I'm going to do better in school. I'm going to get stuff done. I'm going to exercise. We come up with all these different ideas, goals, resolutions, things we want to change, and they all have something in common, and that is they all deal with me. I want to change me. It's about me. But studies show that by February 1st, which is coming up this week, 80% of people have failed at their resolution. And I have to say, this week, I failed at two of mine, and it just had me down, down, down. You see, that snow day we had on Wednesday just totally threw me off. And one of my resolutions is that I've been learning Spanish and doing Spanish lessons on an app on my phone every single day. And the snow day came, and I was busy plowing and snow blowing and just several times that day and helping people out, helped a couple different people get their cars out stuck in the snow and just some fun stuff. And I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I think, oh, wait a second, my Spanish lesson. And I look at the time, and it had been a long day and a long night, and the time was 12:03 a.m. And I pull up my app, and I go, no! A big old zero by my streak. I had it going for 22 days and lost it. And it seems that whenever we fail doing a resolution or a goal, then we're like, well, then why keep on going, right? And it's even harder to start back up. But those resolutions, remember, they have to do with me. But John the Baptist said, in John chapter 3, verse 30, he said, he, speaking of Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And he's talking about this concept of saying that in our lives, our goal should be not to make ourselves better. Our goal in life should be to make Jesus greater in our lives. That there's this plus sign and less than sign, you know, that there should be more Jesus and less me as we progress, as we move along in this life. And here's something that we really believe here at Focus Church is that when you accept Jesus, when you say, I decide to follow Jesus and make him in charge of my life, that it's a new day. It's like day one of the rest of your life. And it's a journey. It's not a destination. Nobody arrives. Nobody becomes super Jesus follower. They don't arrive, but it is a progressive thing that we continually work on until we see Jesus up in heaven one day. And so everyone has room to grow. Everyone has room to have Jesus be greater and greater in their lives and for themselves to be less and less. I like to think of it in levels. You know, think of levels. This platform is at a different level than the floor. And in between the floor and this platform, there are two other smaller levels. And our walk and our journey with Jesus is moving to the next level, to the next level. And there's always something else. And if you find yourself saying, you know what, I don't know where I'm going with God. I haven't felt him like he's close like I used to, and I don't feel like I'm being challenged in any way. It's that moment where you're supposed to say, Jesus, what's the next level look like? Challenge me, change me, help me, because I promise you, Jesus God has a plan for you. I promise you that he has your future in line, and he does not want you to stay where you're at the level that you're at and to complete your life at that same level, but he wants you to grow. He wants you to change. He wants to become greater and greater in your life. And for yourself, your selfish nature, should become less and less. So, new year, less me. We decided that we're going to have three goals this year that would apply to our whole church and all of us individually. Three goals that we could all latch on to and adopt for this year that are less me goals, that they're more Jesus goals. And the first goal we looked at 2 weeks ago is we said we need to share our Jesus, not just to keep this treasure to ourselves, but we got to share our Jesus, and that God puts people in our life on purpose, and you may be the only Jesus that they ever meet. And that's either some really good news or some really bad news for those people. Share your Jesus. Don't keep it to yourself. Last week, we said, how about we be grateful in the grind? That we're not constantly looking ahead to the future saying, if this just gets better, everything will be better. If I just get a better job, I just make more money, if I could just move to a warmer place. Oh, you're speaking my language, Pastor. You know. We say that maybe God has you exactly where you're at for a reason. When Paul and Silas were thrown into jail, beaten and charged and chained up for something, they didn't really do anything. They could have whined and complained and said, hey, it would have been better if we just threw in the towel or did something different and said, this isn't worth it. I don't deserve this. But God had a plan that God wanted the entire jailer's family to know him and be a part of starting the church in Philippi. And Paul and Silas had perspective, and they had a great attitude, that even in the midst of whatever was going on, they're like, God, I praise you. God, you're awesome. Whatever you need, God. And I promise you that in this year, in 2019, you're going to face some things that are going to come out of left field. They're going to be like, wow, I never knew that windchill could get that low. It seems like every day the weatherman is just adding like another dozen negative onto the report of what Wednesday morning is going to be like. And I saw someone write on Facebook, what's the difference between negative 40 and negative 55? It doesn't matter, it's cold. Right? And so today for our final less me goal or less me resolution, we're going to be looking at a time when Jesus revealed what he really thought about giving in the offering. Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got some really good news. You see, there's hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles today to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. You can be using your paper Bible. You can be using the app on your phone, the Bible app. We highly encourage using the Bible app. You could have lots of different translations. We're using the New Living Translation. When you came in today, you should have received the bulletin, and inside that bulletin, there's some message notes, handouts, where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. There's the references to what we're learning today and what we're studying today. And we highly encourage you to hold on to that, to use it today to follow along, but hold on to it and plan for about Wednesday when you're snowed in your house. Pull it out and look over it again. Find out for yourself. Read for yourself. Don't just take my word for it, but learn for yourself and say, wow, this is what God's really saying to me. So we're reading today out of Mark chapter 12, and let me just set this passage up. This is in Mark chapter 12, it's a very long chapter, and most of this chapter deals with Pharisees and Sadducees trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap Jesus, trying to find a reason to say, we need to punish this guy, we need to arrest this guy, we need to put him in jail, we need to get rid of him. And if we can get him to say something wrong, then we'll have proof. And so they sent group after group just testing him, and he knew exactly what they were doing. And it's at the end of the chapter that we pick up today's story where they're kind of done ministering, and they just have a seat at church, at the temple. So we're reading Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And it says this. You can follow along on the screen as well. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple. and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Let's pray. God, I pray that for the next few moments that you would speak to us, that you would speak to us on an intellectual level to our minds, but God, you'd also speak to us on a passionate spiritual level to our hearts. Lord, that we would be challenged and changed today. Help us, God, to grow to our next level with you as we unpack your word for us today. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Now, I've been telling you kind of every other week, my daughter's been going to gymnastics meets, and this was one of those weekends where she had a gymnastics meet in Milwaukee, and every meet that she's had, she's wanted to improve, to get better, to reach her next level, and I've been telling you about that because, you know, we said, okay, here's the baseline of scores after the first meet, and then the next meet, we said, okay, let's try to get better scores, and maybe she'll go past that 9.0. Maybe she'll get a medal, and we felt that the last two meets that she got kind of snubbed for medals just with some obscure rules that they have, and it's time for her to go again, and this meet's on Friday evening in Milwaukee, and so I asked Riley, what's your goals? What do you want to do? She's like, I just want to be better, and I want to get a medal really bad. And so in each event, I watched her, and I sat in a wooden bleacher where it's not very comfortable. Luckily, we found one that we went to the top row and there was a back support, you know, where it could sit a little bit better. But I'm watching her doing each event, and she has more hustle than I've ever seen her have before. You could just tell from across the room that she's got the game face on. You know what I'm talking about? Game face. Like, I am determined and I'm going after this. And just every event, she was going after it. And it went time for her to go on the balance beam. And the balance beam is not just a physical event, it's a mental event. And how you approach it determines how you're going to do on it. And she's going on the balance beam, and she just has this mindset that I am going all out. I'm not letting anything hold me back. And I've got my phone, and I'm videotaping it, and I'm watching her. And it's amazing the things they do at this level. I mean, they have to do flips and stuff and jump off the beam and be back on the beam. The thing's only 4 inches wide. Crazy. And if you think you're going to fall, you will. If you think that you can't do it, guess what? You can't. And so you have to believe and have faith that you can do it and you're going to stick it. Now, when most girls fall off the beam, it's because of that timidness. It's because they're doing it, and then they're doing the whole wobbly thing, trying to recover, and then fall off. But Riley, this time, she's like, I'm not going to wobble. I'm going to make it. And she goes to do a front flip on it, and her whole right foot misses the beam, and she flips over and falls flat on the mat that's 4 feet down. And immediately, she hops up as if she was on a spring, gets back on the beam, continues to do it. She has to do another thing over her head, and her right foot misses completely, and she falls off. She hops right back up. She finishes it, does her little salute. And we're like, oh, no. This is going to devastate her, and we can tell she's crying as her coach is talking to her. We don't know if she's hurt or if she's just upset that she fell. Or if she's upset because she's going to get a really bad score. And I had it on video, and I'm watching, because I want my daughter to do well, and I'm scrubbing through the video on the timeline, and I find the point that she falls, because I didn't know why she fell, but I could tell clearly as I put it into slow motion, that foot just totally missed. She was going after it. She was believing it was there, and it just, there was nothing there. And in slow motion, I could see her body flipping over, her rear end hitting the beam, her bouncing off. And so I kind of had some fun with it.
Just kind of going, putting to make her go forward, as she fall. It brought me some laughter, but as I'm watching and re-watching and reliving the moment, watching her on video, I realize that she was going after it. That she fell because she went with confidence. And that she believed it was going to be there, that she went. There was no timidity in what she was doing, but she's like, I'm going after it. And I couldn't be more prouder. So I'm like, wow, she wasn't holding back. At the end of the meet, she got a score at the end of the beam. And the score was unbelievably high. And you're supposed to get huge deductions for falling off. And because she ended up with a high score, it meant that if she hadn't have fallen off, she would have scored extremely well because everything else was almost perfect. She ended up in another event, she medaled, and she just didn't get just a bare bottom of the bone. She got a big third place medal on the vault. And she was beaming, and on the floor, she got another 9.0. And so she's excited, but she's like, Dad, next time, 2 medals. 2 9.0s. She's going after it. She's not letting it stop her. She's excited. But you know what? As a dad, I love watching her because she's been putting in the hard work, and the meet is the point where we see the results. How hard has she been working? As we drive her to practice every single day, and she spends 4 hours conditioning and working every single day, we get to see the results. It's game time. It's time to see what's going to happen. And here we have Jesus. He's had a long day of ministry, and he's with his disciples, and he's like, we're just going to hang out in the back of the temple, back over in that corner right over there. And we're just going to sit on these comfortable chairs, and people watch. And he just happened to have a good view of the giving box back in the back, and Jesus is watching everybody as they're coming to the temple. It's time to pray. It's time for a service. And they all go to the wooden box in the back, and they're dropping in their offerings. And he's noticing things. He's watching. He's seeing what is happening. Now, if we really were to stop and just really dig into the story just a little bit deeper, we're going to be a little bit surprised to realize that Jesus was watching people giving. And if Jesus was watching people giving, guess what? That means Jesus watches you give. He watches what we give. And he's sitting there and he's watching people as they give, and he's kind of figuring out what's going on. And at this point you're saying, oh man, why did I go to church today? Pastor's talking about giving and money, and oh, it's never fun when the pastor talks about money. Maybe you're elbowing your spouse and saying, strap down the wallet and the purse, honey. Here we go. But why is this such a sensitive subject? We're talking about one of the base foundation pieces that God has put together that deals with our faith and growing to another level with him. Giving was not something that people came up with. It was something that God came up with. And the best gift that could ever be given was when God gave his only son, Jesus, to pay the price with his life for you and for me so that we could be a part of God's family. This doesn't have to be a sensitive subject. As a matter of fact, we've put this idea and this concept right into the heart of who we are as a church. We believe that there's a lot of things that Focus Church can be or do, but God has called this church, us, to focus on just a few things and to do them exceptionally well. So we only have 6 focuses as a church. And these focuses tell us what we shouldn't be doing as a church, but it also says what we should be doing as a church. And one of those focuses is that grateful people give generously and that you can't outgive God. So giving is a part of who we are. And so that means from time to time, we're going to talk about it and we're not going to apologize for it. Because it's an area we can all work in. No matter where you're at, this is an opportunity to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And it deals with this concept of giving. My oldest son has a job now in town. He's been doing it for about 2 months. He works at the movie theater. And apparently he's really good at doing the touchscreen cash register at the concession stand. So if you've gone over to Marcus Theaters on Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday evening, he's there working one of the cash registers at the concession stand and comes home with bags of popcorn. And he's working and he's making me proud as his dad that he's making sure he's showing up to work on time and he's working extra if they want him to work extra and he's wearing his uniform just right and he's excelling at whatever job they give. And I'm proud as a dad. And it's opportunities in these last few months that he's still at home before he graduates this summer. These are our last opportunities to see, is he going to make it as an adult? Is he going to make it as a Jesus follower outside of our house? He has grown up in our house. He's grown up loving God and serving God, and he's about to leave our house. And, you know, the parents, as parents, we wonder what's going to happen. And as he's making money and he's getting these paychecks, I'm seeing this as an opportunity to see, you know what? I hope he has listened to all the times I've talked about money. Not times I've talked about here at church, but as I've talked to it as dad. As dad to my kids, I take time to, let's talk about money. Because there should be, no matter how much money we make or how much money we get, there should be a couple priorities with our money. We should honor God with whatever we get, and we should save. If my kids can grasp those two concepts before they even make a buck, they're going to be well off the rest of their lives. Because they're going to have money, and they're going to have blessings, financial blessings in their life, because God's going to be in because of their obedience. And so I've been watching and seeing that as he's getting a paycheck, he tells me when he's getting paid and everything. And so I ask him, hey, you got paid? Yep, I got paid. So you got a paycheck? Yep, a direct deposit in my account. I'm like, yep. Have you paid your tithes and offerings yet? He's like, Dad, I already did. And each time I'm like, my heart's like, yeah, it's awesome. You're honoring God. And that means the stuff I've been teaching for years to him, it's paying out. I said, what about savings? He's like, Dad, I got a savings account too. And Dad, you told me I should only save 10% of my savings, but is it okay that I've been putting like 40% away? I'm like, sure, okay, you know? And as I watch my son taking care of these two areas as he's working this part-time job, you know what it makes me want to do? Is to make sure all his other needs are taken care of. That he's got gas, that his insurance is paid, that he has food, that he has clothes, that it's going to be warm in our house. It makes it a whole lot easier as dad to do those things for him because he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And I think as Jesus watches us and we think about this crazy concept of that Jesus watches us give, that he's looking for the opportunity to be a proud dad. Saying, have you grown in this area? Do you trust me in this area? Have you been listening at all? And I think that's what he was doing that day as he was watching each person give. And as we look at the story, and as the Bible describes that there was lots of people that were wealthy that were giving large amounts of money, and then there was a lady who had nothing, who was a widow, who gave just a small amount of money, it tells us something about Jesus. That not only is he watching what we give, he already knows our financial situation. Because he wasn't just watching who it was that was giving, and he wasn't just watching how much they give, but he knew what their financial situation, or else we wouldn't have this part of scripture where it says there were very wealthy people who were giving large amounts of money, and there was a very poor lady who was giving just a little bit. See, we forget who Jesus is sometimes. That he's God, and that he knows everything. And there is no surprises for God. As a matter of fact, whenever something happens here, and something happens in my life or something happens here at the church, I love talking to Pastor Hope. And if you ever talk to Pastor Hope, she is just full of hope and full of faith.
Maybe her middle name should be Faith. Faith, Hope, Faith. There we go. She's just full of hope and faith. And she has a saying, and tell me if this isn't true. She has this saying that, hey, nothing surprised God. It doesn't surprise God. Or if it's God's deal, it's God's bill. You know, that this is something that God already knew. And we look at our own state of where we're at financially and we say, wow, God doesn't realize how many bills I have. God doesn't realize how much I'm in debt. God doesn't realize how much I make or don't make. And God doesn't realize. And as I'm saying this, you're like, well, that's kind of a silly thing to say. But we think it and we operate as if that were fact all the time. We think that our situation is unique to us and nobody knows really what's going on. But God does. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly how much you make and don't make. He knows exactly what bills you have and don't have. He knows how much debt you have. He knows it all. And yet he still watches. He knew how much each person had. He knew how much each person gave. And then all of a sudden, Jesus got excited. He got excited at somebody's gift. And he's like, hey, guys, hey, that lady that just gave, let me tell you about her. She's a widow, and she has nothing, and she just put in two coins that add up to 1 cent. And that's all she has. I mean, that's her food money and everything, and that's her bill money. That's all she has, and she's giving it. And he's talking to his disciples saying, that lady there, she is putting all her faith, hope, and trust in me and in God, and she has given way more than all those other people have. And let me tell you why. Because those other people who have a lot, who look like they gave a lot, gave out of their extra, gave out of their surplus. They gave money they would not miss at all. And yet she gave money that she would miss dearly, putting her in a position where she had to trust in God to provide. Which makes me wonder, would Jesus be excited about our giving today? If Jesus was watching us give, whether he's sitting in the back and watching the wood box, or if he's looking as we're getting on a computer to give online, or whatever it is, would Jesus get excited about how we gave today? Now, I recognize that everybody is at a different level with this area in their life, a different level. And I believe that there's different levels, different stages we go through in trusting God in this area. And here's why. Because as simple as giving is the area that reveals how much we trust God or not the most. You know, we can trust God for our health, because what do we have to lose? But if we trust him with our finances, there's no telling what we're going to do. And things could really mess up. And our mind just goes, blah! All the things that could go wrong. And so we come up with these ideas of where I'm at in my giving. And so I recognize that we have kind of the full spectrum represented in our church family. Full spectrum. And that's no bad thing. It's just everybody, we believe everybody's at a different level. And there is a level at the very bottom that says that, hey, I give nothing. I give nothing. And I'm okay with it. And I figured out a way that I can come to church and be okay and love everything the church is doing. But, you know, Pastor can talk about money, can he talk about giving in the back, and it just doesn't bother me because I'm just going to give nothing. And then there's people who feel a little bit more guilty about it and say, okay, you know, I hear that we're supposed to give and everything, but there's just no way. If God really knew where my finances were at, I can't give, so, you know, maybe I should give of my time. Maybe I'll even tithe my time, and that should be the thing I give to God.
or we give excuses. We come up with these ideas and arguments for why I shouldn't have to give. And maybe I disagree with how the church is spending their money. And man, if I was in charge, I wouldn't buy donuts. And we use it as an excuse to take care of the guilt we're feeling inside because we know what God is asking us to do. But we're like, oh, you know, if I can find something I could just be a little upset about, then it kind of solves that guilt and I could be okay. Or maybe we come up with more theological ideas. Like, you know what? I've only found tithing in the Old Testament, and we live in the New Testament. We're under a new covenant, so we shouldn't give. And if the whole church is wrong in this, then, hey, I just don't want to be a part of a whole church that's wrong. Okay? If you happen to be in that camp, then you need to read Matthew 23:23, where Jesus himself endorses that we should not give up the act of tithing. Okay? So just a side note there. Or how about there's a scripture that says everyone should decide for themselves what they're going to give. Found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, right? And we use that as an excuse to say, you know what? I've just decided to only give this much. And you should be okay with that because that's what the Bible says, that I should decide and I decide. Or if you read further down in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says that you should give cheerfully. And that if you are not cheerful about giving, that you shouldn't give. And I'm not cheerful about giving, so I'm just following Jesus. I'm not going to give. Excuses. Of course, it makes it a little awkward when we go to church and they do pass the plate, right? And they do pass the basket, and it feels kind of weird if I don't put something into it. So we think, yeah, you know, I got to have something in my wallet. I'll just tip God. You know, I think pastor's calling it like it is today, okay? Or maybe God's been working on you and you've been feeling the guilt and feeling like, hey, I got to do something. And you can't get into this whole regular thing, but man, when pastor brings up a special offering or we get to hear from a missionary or once a month we take the missions emphasis offering, you know, I can get behind that thing. I could throw a 20 in for that. But obey God? Yeah, I'm just not there yet. Maybe we get to the point where finally pastor preaches a good message about giving, about tithing, or I finally understand it, and I'm like, okay, God, if I'm going to tithe, you know, I finally get it up here. See, we always pray about two things when we talk about sermons. We pray about the head, and we pray about the heart, and we ask God to challenge both, that we're challenged intellectually, a concept we can understand, but we also are challenged spiritually and a passionate side, something that just connects for us. And maybe you've gotten to the point where that's what your next level was for you, where you say, okay, I'm going to take that step, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to give, and pastor said 10%, and maybe for you it's 10% of the net pay. Should I do net or gross? And you're like, it'd be easier if it's net because then there's less money I'm giving, right? And I could maybe make it a little bit farther. But I can always tell where people are at when it comes to tithing and this whole idea of giving our first 10% to God. I can tell where you're at and where you're struggling if there's any numbers behind the decimal place in your tithe. Okay? Because at the very shallow end of the water of just dipping your toes into this giving idea, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to tithe, then that means a literal 10%. Well, that usually comes out to decimal places, and so it might be 11 cents on the end. And we go over there for a time, but then God challenges us, and the next level looks like, you know what, I'm going to round up for God. I'm going to round up a dollar, you know, like I do at the firehouse subs, right? And then we round up to there's $5, right? And we kind of grow from there, and that becomes our next level. And then it becomes that you see people who have experienced this for a while, and I've in my lifetime I've got to know some people who have really trusted God in this area, where they give beyond their tithe. That the tithe is just the baseline. They're like, oh yeah, I've been doing that for a long time, but man, I give above that. I give to more to support missionaries above that. Or God's challenged me that I don't do 10%. I do 11% and 12%. And I've heard people say, my dream one day is to be backwards tithing.
And it's like, okay, you go, man, yeah. Backwards tithing is giving 90% and living off 10. Here's the deal. We just identified levels, just like steps up to the stage, levels. And every one of us, if we had steps leading all the way up and all those areas described, we could all get on one of those steps. And we would all be on different steps. And I want to tell you that that's okay. Here's why. Because we are all at different points in our obedience to God. However, if your step starts becoming a platform that goes straight on and never has another step up to it, then that's where we've got a problem. Because no growth is taking place. You're not saying, God, challenge me to my next level. God, help me to grow in you. What does that look like? That day, Jesus was excited about that lady's offering because that lady was taking a step further and saying, I'm trusting you, God. I'm putting myself purposely in a place where I have to trust you. In comparison to the other people who were giving larger amounts of money, that they were in spots where they didn't miss it. Hey, I got the recognition and acclaim for giving a big amount. But, hey, you know, that big amount is nothing compared to how much I make or how much I have. And so Jesus was looking at their heart. And what he celebrated was the fact that one of his kids was putting themselves in an area to grow. That one of his kids was putting themselves specifically in an area to say, I'm going to my next level and I'm sacrificing. I am trusting wholly in you. You know, all those levels that I just talked about and we laughed about, and the reason why we laughed is because we know it's true. That's how good comedy works. All those levels and all those things that we can relate to and where different people are at in their journey and trusting God in this area of giving, they all have something in common. They all have a problem with me. I can't trust. I can't afford. I don't have enough. I want to, but I can't. I don't believe. I don't want to. All those things have to do with me. And just like our resolutions, it's selfish. We're saying, what can I feel comfortable with? I'm comfortable dropping a 20 in and tipping God. I'm comfortable with giving $5. I'm comfortable with giving exactly my 10% to the penny. I'm comfortable. And comfort is the danger in this. Comfort is the enemy of growth. You know, I've spent the last 4 weeks working out as one of my goals for this year, that I'm working out, I'm cataloging what I'm eating, I'm watching my calories, and I'm excited to say that I can be up here now, and then when you take pictures of me, that my buttons aren't, like, spreading out, okay? I'm going somewhere. And I'm not there totally yet for where I want to be, but I'm seeing progress. But every day, I've got to decide, do I still want to go further? Or am I okay with where I'm at? I'm comfortable. My shirt's fitting good. And if I lose more weight, then I have to get new clothes. And that's not fun, or yes, it is. It's fun if you have money. It's no fun if you don't, right? But when we get comfortable is when we get in danger of no longer growing, of no longer achieving, no longer going after. And we could be at a spot at a higher level and be at a comfort spot, and we could get a spot on the lowest level and be at a comfort spot, and we're in danger of just being a platform where there are no more steps for us to move on. But we've said it's not about me. That this is new year, less me. That we're looking at three goals for us to adopt, for us to be challenged with, to say, I want to change in a way that's not about me. And so here's our less me goal, our third and final one. I will allow God to challenge me to a new level of giving. I will allow God to challenge me to a new level of giving. And what this means is we're going to say that God, wherever I am at, and we described all those steps, that I'm going to ask God to challenge me to go to the next step. And that's going to look different for everybody. Whether you don't give at all or you give the most, we're saying everyone should still have steps in front of them, because this is about growing. This is about putting yourself in a spot where you have to trust God. That widow got the attention of Jesus himself because she put herself in a spot where she had to trust God for her next. And she believed that God would take care of her. So what does your next level look like? Does it force you to sacrifice? Does it force you to make a decision? Does it force you to put your trust in God? You know, we talked about one of our focuses being that grateful people give generously, but our sixth focus really applies here even more, because this is beyond just this idea of giving. Our sixth focus is this, is that growing people change. Growing people change. And that we should share our stories. So how do you know if you're growing? How do you know if you're getting closer and reaching your next level with God? Then there should be something about you that's changing. It's something evident. And as you change, you share your story, because your story is going to inspire somebody else to take that step of faith and that trust to reach their next level with God. I was speaking to somebody in our church just this week. And they were somebody that a year and a half ago, they were in this church, and they sat and heard where I spent three Sundays talking about trusting God with our finances and what that meant to put yourself in a zone where you are blessable, to be in a cycle of abundance versus a cycle of scarcity, and by honoring God with the first 10% of what you make. And this gentleman, he sat through all those messages, and we had the opportunity to hang out about a month later, and I just thought I'd bring it up. I was like, so how are you doing in this area? Which, just let me share with you on a side note. At Focus Church, we believe it's okay to talk to your pastor and your pastor to talk to you. That we can have conversations. We don't play whack-a-mole here, but we care that you grow. And so this was an example where I'm talking with this gentleman. I'm saying, so how have you grown as a result of hearing about honoring God in your finances? And I was quite shocked to hear that, no, I still don't give anything. I kind of didn't understand completely what you were saying, and so I just didn't do anything. And he didn't bother coming and talking to me saying, hey, pastor, can I talk to you? I didn't understand what you were saying. And at any time, you could always talk to pastors, any pastor here. We are available, and we have your best interests at heart. We want you to grow. We want you to reach your next level with God. That's our mission statement. We are focused on helping people reach their next level with God. And so this created an opportunity to have a conversation in my pickup truck with this gentleman. And we talked about giving. And I was able to answer his questions. And he said, you know what? I'm going to decide right now. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to jump in. I believe this is what I'm supposed to do next. I have the faith for this. He's like, but pastor, what if I don't have enough? I'm like, well, you're putting it in God's hands. And I promise you that having 90% of your income blessed by God will go way further than 100% completely without his blessing. And so he did.
as the year went on, 2017, he was kind of hit or miss and dropping his check in the offering. And he talked to me about 6 months later. He's like, "Pastor, I've been trying, but I always forget. And I come to volunteer and I come to church earlier. I come to church late. And, you know, I get so excited just to be at church that I forget to go to that wood box in the back. And what can I do?" And I showed him about our online giving system. And he's like, "Okay, I'm just going to do that." And he wrestled with this idea. If he said, "I looked at the online giving system and they have this recurring giving thing set up, but I make a different amount every 2 weeks." He's like, I want to use that because I do that with all my other bills. You know, and I just want to honor God this way." And so I said, "Just set an amount. And that if you make more, you make less, you figure out the difference and you supplement giving." And so he set it up for the beginning of 2018. That every 2 weeks, the same amount would just come out. And God has blessed him this last week, or this whole last year. He's like, "Our money went further than I ever thought possible." And he's like, "At the end of the year, you guys gave me this like receipt of how much I gave. And I about dropped over dead because I couldn't believe that I gave that much money for God." He's like, "You know what? I didn't miss it. I had everything I needed. We were blessed. We were taken care of. My job situation got settled." And he's like, "And you know what? I have the faith moving forward for 2019 that even if something goes wrong, I'm not going to stop honoring God because I have seen firsthand what you said to me a year and a half ago, that 90% blessed goes farther than 100% that's without." And so, I mentioned just a few moments ago about 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, that whole section about decide what you're going to give and, you know, you should do it cheerfully. But it's important to read God's word in context to see what the whole thing is about. So I want to read for you today 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Let's see what the writer is writing to us. And he says this: "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give." Okay, we're going to pause right there. Let's use some logic and deduction. That sentence there, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give." When we take it out of context, it's like, I can give whatever. But when we read that in context, he just talked about, hey, if you only sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. But you get to pick what you're reaping. So when you are deciding in your heart what you're going to give, you are also deciding what you're going to reap. And he goes on to say, "And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure." Again, this is about sowing and reaping, not about, hey, the pastor said I should and I feel guilty and so I should start something. This is about being challenged and trusting God and going to your next level with God. He says, "For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." It's not like, oh, I got to pay God's bill. Oh man, it might as well be like dues at that church. They're keeping track of it. No. This is God saying, hey, give because you want to. You're giving out of obedience. You're giving to me. You're giving to fund the work for the operation, the mission that we're on to help other people find God. You're being a part of that, and it doesn't work when you just say, ah, here you go. But we want it to be, here you go. Last night I dropped my son off at the movie theater to go work. And one of the benefits that he gets is he gets free movie passes. Okay? And for every so many hours, then he gets a free pass and you can get into any movie for a dollar. Kind of a cool deal they have there. Kind of a perk for getting at the movie theater.
You know how many of those movie tickets I've seen? Yeah. And so I just mentioned to him, I said, hey, you know, your mom has mentioned several times that her and I would like to go to the movies sometimes, and you get access to those passes. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. If you want a pass, just ask me. Just ask me, and I'll give you one. I'm like, Randon. I said, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, are you picking up on the hints? And would you willfully say, hey, mom, dad, here's a couple tickets. You guys should go out on a date sometime. And use it as a blessing versus, I'll hold on to it if you happen to need it, then you owe me one. And we treat God this way with our giving, saying, God, I'm just holding on to your money. Just tell me if you need it. Right? I'll take care of you, and then you owe me one. And he's saying, I just want you to want to do it, to be cheerful about giving, to understand how it's being used and how it makes a difference in all the things and people we can reach. Do it cheerfully. Don't do it begrudgingly, like God owes you one. And if we do, verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Catch that? Somebody, you need to find that scripture. You need to highlight it. If I do this, then God's going to do this. If I realize that what I sow is what I reap, and I decide what my reaping is going to be, and if I do it cheerfully, not because I have to, but because I want to, that God will generously provide all I need. You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I'm telling you, this is a promise straight from God. This is not Pastor Ryan's words. This is not guilt or anything. I'm saying, hey, I'm showing you what a next level relationship looks like. Your God, your dad wants to take care of you. And I know many of you, my hands up too, we struggle with this. We struggle with letting go. We struggle with trusting God. We struggle with putting ourselves in an area of vulnerability, in an area that can mess up our lives. And God's saying, I will take care of you. I'll provide for you, generously provide for you. It says, as the scriptures say, verse 9, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Saying God provided you your money and is going to take care of your needs. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. God wants you to become generous like him. And the idea is that he wants to bless you, but we don't give so we can get. We give so we can be more like God. And not in a weird way, but in a way that, hey, we're growing to our next level in our relationship with him. And he's saying, you know what? If you will trust me in this area, I'll take care of you, but I'm going to bless you with more so that you can be even more of a blessing, so that you can be even more generous. That as you've shown that you've been faithful with what you've got, I'm going to show you what I'm going to have you be faithful with. And for each one of us, each one of his kids, he wants the same thing. He's like, if you will just grow, if you only knew what I had for you. I said, but I gotta see. Is there gonna be a great harvest of generosity in you? Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So how can I do this? What do we say to this? This new year, less me goal. Is saying, God, challenge me to a new level of giving. And I'm saying, no matter where you are at, everyone can do this. Everyone can ask God, God, challenge me to a new level of giving. Don't have your step become a plateau or stage, a platform. But say, God, what does it look like for me? Does that look like maybe you haven't been giving?
and you're supposed to give something. Maybe you've been given something every now and then, and maybe you're going to be giving more regularly. Maybe you've been giving regularly, but God's putting on your heart, maybe I need to get into this whole 10% thing. Maybe you've been on that cusp of that 10% thing, but you've been doing the decimal place, and God's saying, hey, round up. Maybe you've been rounding up, and you've been given extra, maybe to missions emphasis, and God's saying, hey, double what you give to the missions. Maybe, who knows what it is for each one of us different. That's why it's a personal relationship with God. But we all have something. God has another step lined up for each of us. And so if we ask God to challenge us to a new level in our giving and to allow ourselves to be in that spot where we have to sacrifice, where we have to put our trust in God and what He is doing, change will happen. And how can I do this? You need to decide. Just saw the scripture, you got to decide what's going to be that you reap. How much are you going to sow? Decide in what way your giving will increase this year that requires you to trust Him. As a church, here's what I'm challenged with. I pray and I ask God, God, what are we supposed to accomplish? What are we supposed to do? I say, God, if no idea is so outrageous. No idea is too far. If you were in it, then you were in it. And I pray that we're a church that does something, that we make a difference, that we are on mission and helping people find God. And God, whatever that looks like, show it to us. And I have to say that there's been enough vision and dream being flooded down from heaven for this year for us that I'm scared to death. Not because of what it is or how much work it is, because I know that it costs something. And my prayer to God is say, God, if our people don't grow in this area, then there's no way we can do what you've set out for us to do. And you know what His response to me was? Well, then they have to grow. That's also in the plan, that this is an area we're going to grow, that we're not going to stay the same. And He's giving these ideas and He's giving these visions or things, not based on what we've done, but what He already knows we're going to do. And that gets me excited. Grateful people give generously. You can't outgive God. Let's pray. God, today we are challenged by Your word, by this message, realizing that we all have room to go to a next level with You. If we were honest with ourselves, we would say that in many areas, our next step has become a platform, a table, a plateau that goes on, and You're saying, hey, I've got more steps for you. God, I pray that today that we are not just challenged, but that we change, that we do something. Help us, God, to take our next step with You. Show us what it is. Speak to us. Have us grow in this area. Help us to see this as You see it. Each time we give, as we place our faith and our hope and our trust, our lives in Your hands. As we honor You, You promised that You would take care of us. As we are more generous, Your word said that You'll be more generous to us so that we could spread it even further. That when You entrust us with small, that we do well, trust us with larger. Help us to be a church that grows this year in this area. May we be challenged and changed to reach our next level in giving generously to You. In Jesus' name. And I recognize that You may have come here today and you said, hey, I need that hope and I need that focus and I need that purpose in my life, Pastor. I need to know that there's something else. See, God loved you so much that before you even born, Jesus paid for you. You see, we're all designed and born with this propensity to do wrong, to do evil. And because of this, we all have an eternal destination that's already been outlined for us. Spend all of eternity apart from God. It's not the way that God wanted it. His righteousness demands that a price had to be paid, but his heart had grace to say, I want everyone to be able to be with me. And so he made a way. He sent his son Jesus, who would live a perfect life, who would pay the price with his life, not because of what he did, but because of what we would do. And because of this, been bought. The way has been made. And it is now possible for us to not be forever condemned, but to be able to experience life with God, a life better than we can even imagine, a life of hope, of purpose, of mission, a life with focus. We're not saying life becomes easier. If anything, it becomes harder. But it's different because we have someone else leading us. It's no longer us in the driver's seat, but it's God in the driver's seat. And each day, while God allows us to be on this planet, we grow, taking one step closer, one step up towards Him. You may say, Pastor, how do I begin that journey? How do I take those steps? How do I grow closer to my next level with God? Well, it starts with the first. And the first is saying you want this gift that God gave in giving His Son. You decide. You say, God, I want you to be in charge of my life. You say, I'm sorry for everything I've done and how I've messed things up. Tell Him you believe that He loved you so much that He sent Jesus to pay the price for you. You tell Him you want to live for Him and ask Him for a purpose and for hope and a future to bring focus to your life as you begin this journey with Him on day one. That's you today, and you say, Pastor, I want that. I want to take that first step today, that today needs to be my day one, that I need to take that step and believe God and thank God and align myself with God to give Him the driver's seat of my life. I want you to simply let me know by raising your hand right now. Let me see your hand. Let me pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Repeating after me, we're all going to pray, repeating together. No one prays alone here. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. Give me hope. Give me a future. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.